Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
I'm just a little concerned about a couple of things here. One is your state after your Packers crashed and burned.
Thank you for that.
Yep. Two would be, Noodles. You've got to give some props to the actual execution of the purchase.
Of a three-year-old, yeah, like actually going on the computer, going on and actually pressing like buy now and then going on to the next screen and getting it delivered. I don't know how I missed the confirmation emails, but you know how you order so much sometimes that you're like, you just...
It could have been so much worse, Noodles.
If he knows the three numbers on the back of the card, he's the boss. That'd be awesome.
He runs things. Think about how much worse it could have been, though. Noodles, a Buffalo
Ferrari
Bill
backing up on Ferrari backing up on a flatbed the whole night. Ray, we were just talking. Have you ever gotten home and written a review about a restaurant and posted it?
No,
never.
Not even thought of it.
Yeah,
if it's bad, I'm just not going back.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
That's right. That's the way it's worked for 10,000 years. But, apparently that's the way people operate now. We're living in a very different world. And Noodle said it's kind of like Twitter, but it just stays out there forever. And if you search for the restaurant or the small business, people are going to find it. And it really does affect their business, substantially. But anyway, we haven't really talked about the Leafs. We've been talking so much about football. We had Paul Maurice on in the last hour. We'll get back into the line idea and get your take on that. But I thought the Leafs, found one yesterday. And admittedly, there was a lot going on, so I wasn't watching every second of the game. But I think Sheldon Keefe was pretty honest post-game, where he said, we played a lot of games, short period of time. This was a 2 o'clock start, our backup goalie in net. Calgary hadn't played in a while, and we found a way to win. Regardless of how it looked, I think that's an impressive 2 points for Toronto yesterday.
Well, it was pretty muddy yesterday, most of the game. Like, they're just it looked like both teams, but didn't have a lot of zip, like that there wasn't much to it. And Calgary'd been off for 5 days, which is probably too long. And then, Toronto, I think that was, 5-7 or 7-12 or something like that. And, the first four goals were all goofy kind of goals, right? Yeah. They were all deflected off something. One of them went off Campbell's at rear end and in the net, and the three Toronto goals. Like, Wayne Simmonds couldn't score that goal again if he tried. The reverse bank off his own foot. But who cares? They won. They played well enough. You kind of evaluate what you've got in the tank, each guy, and they did just enough to win. And Campbell was great yesterday. He made some really, really good saves.
I thought he was, too. And you know what? You're right. Like, I never criticize a win. Like, a win is a win. It happens different ways. Like, all three goals the Leafs scored were, situational goals, off a skate or whatever. They created their own chances. I thought Campbell was fantastic when he needed to be. He made a couple big saves in tidy battle. I thought he was cramping near the end of the game, so that was a bit of a concern for me, because honestly, I had flashbacks. I'd been there, done that. It's where you haven't played a lot, and then your adrenaline's going, and you're maybe a bit dehydrated. But it looked like his left leg or groin or knee or something was cramping up near the end. But he battled through and got the two big points, and now they battle again tomorrow.
And that's 2-0 for him, right? He started two games. He's got both wins. That's big. They need that.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Just think, Tuesday's game will be, I would be surprised if it's Wayne or played at a much more skillful pace and a faster game. But both teams will have that. But Toronto's already got one of the two in the bag this week. And so they're in really good shape. If you can get two out of there, that's a good team in Calgary. And that would be awesome if you could do that. But you already got one. And so if you're going to play an ugly game and you get to put the 2 points on your side, that's a good place to be.
Well, I was going over it earlier today because, we discussed Kyle Dubas and what he's done and how he's built this team on a daily basis, it feels like, let alone weekly, monthly. And there have been things that he's missed on. That Kadri deal, he's not going to be able to get back. And that was a bad deal. They lost that deal. That's a deal that will stick around for a long, long time. I don't think the contract negotiations with the big three went great. You know, regardless of how they all played out, where they ended, they're still here, which is obviously a positive. But I'm not sure the team won, quote-unquote, any of those three negotiations at the time. But when you consider, you know, other things that Dubas has done that I think he deserves a lot of credit for, one is he realized he had to address that backup goaltender. Like, he had to, and he went out there and he got Campbell. And Campbell looks like a legit quality backup goalie that is there for term. He always believed in Justin Hall. You know, I'll admit I've had my reservations. I wasn't convinced he was a guy that could play every night, let alone up the lineup. I think he's looked pretty good. Like, he looks pretty solid as a number four. He's not a three, not a two, but he's a four. And he's given you minutes, and he looks comfortable in that role. And he's brought in Brody, brought in Muzzin, brought in Tavares. You know, that kind of fell in his lap. But if we're going to look at some of the things that haven't worked out for Kyle, I think you got to look at some of the things that have worked out pretty well. And those are just a few that have gone well for him so far and are paying off dividends right now.
Well, I can think of two things that kind of go along these lines. And Paul Maurice said after the trade was made, you know, like, I'll take some of the heat for, you know, or I'll take all of the heat, actually, he said, for line A and not, you know, that it didn't work out. And he said, but I also have to, you know, you got to acknowledge that we've had a lot of other young guys that have developed, same coach. So you got to look at both sides of the coin. Now, I know you're probably pretty sour at Matt LaFleur mm-hmm. yesterday, mm-hmm. you know, for kicking the field goal. So, but prior to that, he was a really good coach. Then he makes a decision, and now he's a really bad coach. There was a time not very long ago, Andy Reid was thought of as a guy that could never win. Can't win the big games. He's got good teams in Philadelphia. They can't win. Now he's they talk about the Andy Reid coaching tree, and man, what a creative guy. And like, there's both sides to it all, and it has to be looked at. And the same would be for what Kyle is doing in Toronto. There's been some things that didn't work out and haven't worked out. And until they can, you know, get the ball closer to the goal line, which would be make the playoffs, win a playoff series, like, there's going to be criticism that goes with it. But there's lots of things that have worked for them. You know, another thing that's worked for them, I think anyway, is a player for nothing, and that's Ilya Mikheyev. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, he looks like a legit third-line player that kills penalties, and, man, he works hard, and he looks like he's an enthusiastic player, and they didn't pay anything for him. So that's a positive on his watch, too. And right. That stuff all has to be balanced out.
I think he needs to continue shopping, though, too. Do you guys agree?
Like, yeah.
Oh, I don't think. Yeah,
they need some
sure.
They could use another.
I mean, injuries are going to come, and that's not just reserved for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's like, it's going to trickle right through the league, and that's where your depth is going to be challenged. And, you know, I don't know if it's guys like Engvall or Barabanov and guys like that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Who are they
going
to go get, though, Jamie? A guy that makes $400 a year?
No, you're right. Like, I don't know. Like, I saw Kristen Shilton throw it out there. Would he grab Ennis back on waivers from Edmonton? You know, a guy who's on a value contract who's played a bunch of games in the NHL.
Okay, but Noodles, what if you had him on your taxi squad?
That's what I'm saying.
Look at what Montreal just did.
Right.
They, you know, they had to dip into the taxi squad, and they're not getting me.
Right.
You know, they're getting an actual player. Like, Frolik's there and Perry's there. You can put them in and with legit confidence say they're going to do the job for us. And
right.
So I got to say that's one of the most positive things that of all the moves that Montreal made and Bergevin made was, I think, understanding what this taxi squad could be about and knowing that if I've got to bring somebody into play, wouldn't it be nice if it's somebody with some experience?
Yeah.
And as opposed to, hey, maybe it's Engvall, maybe it's Barabanov, maybe it's Robertson for all, you know, Nick Robertson's potential. He's still a 20-year-old kid.
And it's not their fault that, you know, Thornton gets hurt or
nope.
Robertson gets hurt. That's going to be the challenge here. And that's where I think, you know, Paul Maurice, we just had him on. Your big boys are going to get it done if they're healthy. That's ultimately what you rely on. But depth is, especially when you're playing six games in 10 nights or five in eight. And
he made that great point about minutes, right?
Yeah.
And we talk about process all the time. And Matt LaFleur, you know, trusting the process. And Kevin Cash, trusting the process. And it can be difficult in the moment. Maurice pointed out, he's like, there are shift lengths that you need to commit to because over the course of the year, it's going to pay off for you. It may not feel like it in the moment, but you don't want your big guys playing a million right. minutes. Like Mitch Marner, again, he's averaging almost 25 minutes a night. And he's a young guy, and he's got his legs, and he looks good. But if you plan on going on
look at the forwards, man.
Yeah.
This year, not just Mitch.
Throughout the league.
Kopitar's at 24 minutes, and Matthews is up. Like, I'm really surprised with the number of minutes they're playing already.
There was a time where good forwards, if it was anything over 18 or 19, it was like crazy.
Well,
crazy.
You're right. Let me ask you guys this, though. And we should have asked Mo, but, like, if it's a scenario where there's not
lies.
A lot of travel, he doesn't. Well, tell Ray the story, but if there's a scenario where you're playing back-to-back or you're playing, you know, two games in 4 days and there's not travel, you're in your own building, you're in your bed every night, you're not having to get in at 3 o'clock in the morning, like, don't you think some of this abbreviated travel will help, you know?
They can swing both ways, probably.
I think it will, but that's my point. I think there's starters that will be able to play back-to-back games because they play in their own building. They just go home to the bed that night. They're not battling through, customs
or flights or whatever.
Exactly. Like, that type of stuff, I think, will help for the overall product. And if you've got young legs, there might be a night that many nights where you can get them more minutes than less.
Just there has to be a limit at some point.
Agreed. I agree.
And, you know, if you want to win 16 games come the end of the year, like, that's when the grind really starts up. And if you've basically wiped out all your gas during the season, I mean, that's going to be difficult.
Well, look at the Central Division. I don't know if you guys saw that note today with all the cancellations. Those teams are playing like 52 games in 104 days.
Yeah.
Like the whole division, because a bunch of games got wiped out, right, and rescheduled. And you're like, man, those guys they can't play big minutes. Can they? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Well, I think you'll get some dog games, though, too. That's the challenge.
It's the worst division, though, also, right? Like, the big boy, it's not going to be the end of the world for Tampa, who are still going to get in. You know, I think Carolina's probably going to get in. You're right. There's going to be some awful games. But, like, Chicago, Detroit are in that division. Those two teams are terrible.
I watched them play yesterday.
Oh,
yeah, me too. I was waiting for the football. That's why I was watching them. Yeah. And you know what my first thought was? Damn, I'm sure not watching anything else other than the Canadian division. I felt like I was watching a game from the moon.
It's absurd. It's absurd. It's like the KHL, basically.
I was embarrassed because I had to go. I went on NHL.com and went on the notes because there were players I did not recognize.
Pierre Suter scored a hat trick. I never heard of the guy in my life.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm looking at, I'm like, okay, this is obviously a young guy who's been put in the lineup. I need to do more research because I was like, I've never heard of that player before. I've never heard of this guy. And you know, sure enough, it's a rebuilding team. You're cycling through stuff. But, like, that was where I felt like that game was being played on the moon because that was not in the NHL.
Two different leagues. Hey, yeah. Two different leagues. There's, like, the one in the States and the one we got up here.
Well,
crazy.
You know what's wild, though? If you look at the points leaders right now, just the top 10, eight of the top 10 are in Canada.
Yep.
Eight of the top 10 in Canada. Like, this will probably balance out, and, you know, by the end of the year, that's probably not going to be the case. But it
you know
says
what my first thought was?
Play up here.
The exchange rate.
It's got to be.
It's the
only explanation possible. And I guess COVID hasn't affected anything up here for the most part, you know, knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood. Who was it? Was it Detroit that was playing down five players yesterday? It was one of those teams that were down five players.
Yeah, it was Detroit, yeah.
Yeah, that's why we didn't recognize names. It was guys from Taxi Squad that you're like, okay. But, yeah, you're right. Like, COVID, knock on wood, hasn't affected, for the most part, up north other than – I guess Winnipeg a little bit, Tucker Poolman, and Vancouver. TJ Miller missed a little bit of time.
Three at the start, yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Well, what's the mood like out there? Montreal got Vancouver again on Saturday night. And
yeah, lots of joy out here, that's for sure.
Oh.
But there's also the balance of, you know, people saying, hey, it's early and all that stuff. What I think is, there's been some, there was holes on this team that have gotten exposed by a very good Montreal team. Vancouver gives up more goals than anybody in the league right now per game. They gave up 11 high danger chances a game against Montreal. 11. Mm-hmm. Vancouver got 3. So you, yeah. I mean, they weren't just, you know, hey, here's a couple of shots. It was like a breakaway fest in those games. And of course, you know, there's a lot of focus on Pettersson. And what I found interesting, I don't know how you guys played when you were in the last year of your contract, but it was not good for me. I stressed about, man, I haven't scored, and each time I don't score, it's, you know, I'm costing myself money, and, you know, I want to get a longer deal. And so Pettersson's in the last year of his deal, so is Hughes. Pettersson just changed agents. That's a pretty significant change, as we know, but I wonder if the, like, he's worried about the wrong things right now. Like, I wonder if he's just stressed about having to make that change and everything that goes with it. Because it's not just a guy. It's someone that you're friends with and someone you've worked with for quite some time, and now you're making a change. So people are a little uneasy for sure.
He certainly looked like that the last game they played, right? He ultimately scored a tip-in goal from the point, but I had never seen him do some of the things he did on the ice. He coughed one up. He fell down. He was missing passes. His head is just not in a good spot. He's one of my favorite players in the league. But he was just not right the other night. He just, I don't know what's, I think he's worrying about the contract. I know switching agents would be a stressful thing. But he was doing goofy stuff. Like, I thought this year he was going to take charge and be thrown in as a top five centerman in the game. But he was in a different universe the other night.
Yeah, what I noticed, though, aside from the turnover, you mentioned it quick, was he fell down about 3 times.
Yeah, it was like weird.
In weird places. And I'm like, man, he's just not sharp, because that's not Elias Pettersson. That's not. And so the Canucks, they better hope that, you know, he can exhale a little bit and him and Hughes can return to how they were last year. Because if they don't, they're going to have a tough time.
Well, you look at his direct matchups in this division, man. He's got every night, more or less, you've got McDavid or Draisaitl, Matthews or Tavares, and now it's Scheifele or Dubois. Like, that's 3 teams with a 1-2 up the middle that, quite frankly, I think is better than Vancouver's right now. It doesn't have to be by the end of the year. I think clearly Edmonton's and Toronto's is better and will not be surpassed by Pettersson and Horvat. But you could make a case that Pettersson and Horvat could, you know, be right there with Scheifele and Dubois. But he's going to have every night, almost every night, it's like, oh, McDavid, he had 3 points. What am I doing? There's Matthews. He ripped home 2. Like, maybe players don't look at it that way, but that's how the outside world looks at it.
Well, when you go up to take a faceoff and every time you look across, it's somebody that's in the All-Star game, you know, like, you know pretty clearly the guys you're playing against. And you're like, man, I got to be as good as that guy. And even Calgary, like, so you're going to play against Monahan or Backlund. Like, those are good players. Mm-hmm. Or Elias Lindholm, he's really good. And so maybe they don't have the name recognition, but there's not an the easiest out would be in Ottawa, because they're in the state, you know, the stage of build they're in. But every night, it's like, it's good people you're playing against.
Dano and Suzuki are nothing to sneeze at either, the way
that
they play.
Suzuki looks like he's going to be a player.
Yep. Dano is a good player. Just no one talks about him, but he's a good player.
Yeah. I mean, Montreal's, like I say, they're more by committee and balance, but like, I think that Suzuki has a chance to be really, really good.
Like, he looks, I know people are comparing him to Patrice Bergeron a bit. To me, he looks like Braden Point, like so similar to Point. And I think he's a hell of a player, man. He's just stable and steady, and, man, he does a lot of things right.
So off to a good start, that whole team is. All right, buddy, enjoy the one game tonight. It's weird. There's one game in the whole league, I believe, tonight.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow it gets rocking again, so we'll tee up the Leaf game tomorrow, and we'll see where the rest of the week takes us.
If I could give one little quick plug to Ray and Dregs, check it out. We got Pierre-Luc Dubois on today. We talked to him earlier today. He was awesome. And some really, really cool stuff on kind of what went down and as much as he felt like saying, but also just what he thinks he can be in Winnipeg. It was good stuff.
Beautiful. All right, check that out, the Ray and Dregs podcast. Download it wherever you can find your podcasts, and we'll check that out. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5:05.
Awesome. Have a great day, guys.
There he is, the TSN hockey analyst. I was going to say the Ray and Dregs podcast. Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom remains open by appointment only, or you can shop and buy online at MapleToyota.com. The receive rates from 0%.